I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, I'm Sarah, and welcome to the Whispering Woods podcast. I'm handling it on my own today, as Toby and I are both ill, unfortunately. Toby's actually worse than I am. But first of all, I do want to say I'm really sorry about my voice in the stories. I think you'll probably hear how I lose my voice a few times, but it's not too bad, hopefully. So please stick with me if you can. I'm going to keep it really short and sweet today because of this voicing, and then I'm going to go and have a really early night and stay in bed and try and get over this. I've got a review to read. This is from Susan A. Bowman. They say, "Hi, just dropping by to give a review and to tell you both how much I love the podcast. I love the stories as well as your storytelling. I'm not sure if you would even be interested, but if you research them and decide to do a podcast on the story, I would be fascinated to hear your twist. There is a story about the three black sisters of Christianburg, sort of interesting as it partially took place in my hometown. Their names are Virginia Wardlaw, Caroline Martin, and Mary Sneed. Thanks so much for the podcast. Definitely one of my favourites. Susan Bowman, Dublin." Thanks so much, Susan. And I'm sorry that I couldn't read your review out without a creaky voice. I'll definitely look into that story and see what I can do. I've just realised I haven't even said what this episode is about. So, I've gone for stories about Appalachia today. I think I've pronounced it right this time. Woohoo! Getting there. So, there's no introduction. I've just tried to make it a little bit easier on myself because I'm not feeling great. I've got 4 stories. Are you ready for the first story? Hey guys, first time posting on this sub. I'm reaching out to see if anyone can point me towards any info about a rather strange creature my grandmother told stories about since I was a child. And to this day, she still swears are true. They were never told with the intent to scare us, but rather, I always got the notion that it was something she strongly believed and was simply offering as a warning. Even when I hear her retell it now that I'm in my 30s. The time frame would have been around 1900 to 1915 in southwestern Virginia when all this started. and continued on up into the late 30s and early 40s after my grandmother was born. My grandmother lived with her grandparents at the time, and as is custom with the region, it was not uncommon to have several relatives at a household on any given day. Their home was well back in a deep valley, or holler, as we like to call them. The stories always seem to follow a similar sequence that supposedly happened countless times and was seen by members of my family and even several neighbours. Sometimes during nights, when the moon was full and clear, they'd be laying asleep, all in a small home, with most of the beds in a single room, only to be awakened by something stomping on the roof, like it was trying to shake the rafters loose. They'd hear it scratch and stomp around on the roof for several minutes before it would get really quiet, with even the local wildlife hushed up unnaturally. After a little while, they'd hear something thumping the kitchen table like it was dancing, and then the sounds of a grandmother's china cabinet slamming the wall and the contents being thrown and broken all over the floor. When they rushed to see what was happening, nothing would be amiss and the room seemed perfectly normal, every dish in place. One night she said her grandfather and his brother had enough of this and sat up well into the night, shotguns in hand, with a clear moon shining to catch this thing and kill it. Well, sometime after everyone was asleep and they were still up and waiting, as expected, the roof began to heave violently and something jumped off and landed in the front yard, making a noise that she describes sounding like a turkey gobbling. But if the turkey was possessed by the devil himself and as big as a train car. She says it was so loud it shook the house. Her grandfather rushed outside to confront it and could hear its footfalls just feet ahead of him as he chased it down the trail and into the woods. He swore that the moon was so bright he could have seen a rabbit in the weeds from yards away, but he never could see whatever it was he was chasing, even though he saw grass parting and limbs breaking as it ran ahead of him. He said he could even hear it breathing and screeching. Eventually, it just vanished and he was left standing in the dark and the woods were so quiet you could hear a pin drop. It was a while before anything happened again, and the neighbours across the mountain had heard of this tale in the local community. One of their older sons came over to sit with her grandfather for a few nights to see this thing because he didn't believe a word of it. He was a very serious man and thought maybe her grandfather was suffering a sickness of the mind. They put all the children to bed each night and sat at the hearth way up into the morning with the other adults to wait and see if it would show itself. Bear in mind, up until this point, no one had laid eyes on the thing. It was the middle of summer, and they had the front door propped open to let the breeze in. The man was the only one facing the door as they were all sitting in chairs talking. And all of a sudden, he got up and screamed like he'd been shot and climbed over two women trying to get away from the door, even knocking them to the ground. Grandmother says he was a mild gentleman and very quiet, and she'd never seen anybody so scared. It was completely out of character for him. He was inconsolable and swore he saw it looking through the door into the home in the moonlight, but never would give a description. Only saying that man never had words made to go with a thing like that. They moved out of the house sometime after that and never did get any idea of what it was that was causing all the commotion, but several other folk in the area came forward to report similar events at their homes after her grandfather told his tale to the community. In those days, and with people as clannish and private as folk in this area are, it's not surprising that they'd be reluctant to share something like this with their neighbours, for fear of being ridiculed at best, and thought to be devil worshippers or cursed at worst. Do any of you have any information pertaining to legends of stories from the region of similar occurrences? I've researched quite a bit online and can't seem to find anything that matches this description. I would love to know if there's anyone else in the Appalachians that have seen or heard about something like this. It's such a strange story, but I know my grandmother is telling the truth when she tells the story. You can see her fear and hear it in her voice. Any help would be appreciated, and thanks for reading. And thanks so much to Varium for letting us share that story. I really have no idea what that could be. I think my best guess would be a predator type creature, to be perfectly honest. I need to do a bit of a deep dive into Appalachian folklore myself at some point. Hopefully I can sort of tag that onto the extra episode on Thursday. If I'm feeling better, we'll see. Really loved the story though. It was great. Right, are you ready for the second story? I was hiking the Appalachian Trail back in about 1980-something. I'm from Virginia. It was around lunchtime, and I walked past this rough-looking man dressed like it was the 1890s to 1910s, playing the banjo softly. He offered if I would like to take a rest at his fire, so I sat next to him to rest. And without looking at me, he says,
You don't belong here.
I'm confused, so I say, what?
They've been watching you from the trees for a long time.
So I look around and see nothing. He then says,
You be careful where you wander.
I then got up and left. Fast forward to that night. I'd set my tent up, and I'm in my bivy sack, hearing whispering noises. I thought I was just hearing things. I'd had a few drinks before bed. After a few minutes, I had enough, so I get out of the sack, but not my tent. Listening to the trees, I hear something walking closer to my campsite. Now I'm really terrified, so I grab my knife. I had a shotgun, but it was outside, leaning against a tree. I walk out of my tent to try and find my gun. As I do this, I hear it, this horrible, ear-piercing screech from out in the distance. So thinking that I'm in danger, I grab my gun, sling it over my shoulder, and climb a tree, sitting up in the branches with my gun in hand. I then see something in the trees. I didn't know what the hell it was, but it was big, white, and scary as hell. So I say,
Oi, whatever is back there, get the hell away and leave, or I will shoot you.
I got no response from this thing, but then it laughed. I was practically wetting myself. So I hop out of the tree and grab my backpack and my bottle of Jack and run the hell out of there. I didn't know what else to do, but it's safe to say I'm not going back to those woods without a rifle by my side. Now, of course, all I could think about during this story is deliverance. We've had that before, haven't we, on one of the stories, but banjo playing, out in the forests, oh yes. Are you ready for the third story? Growing up in the Appalachian Mountains. I could give you a million times as a kid and young adult, I felt scared or paranoid playing in the woods. It's a beautiful place, and I spent my entire childhood getting lost, not literally, out there by myself or with friends. As kids, We never got too far out there, but you could actually see the progression of us venturing further and further as we got older because of forts and carvings we would leave. This one particular time, like a thousand times before, my friend and I had just graduated high school. It was our last summer of freedom, and we spent the entire summer camping and hiking out there. We decided to try and find a new place to set up camp and walked for what felt like a few miles before we came to a nice clearing. The area was relatively new to both of us. We got the camp set up and fire going, and the plan was to wait until nightfall, smoke a bit and play Monopoly. For sake of backstory on my friend and I, my buddy is a smaller, real goofy guy, but comes from a family of foresters and always had a deep understanding of all the trees and different plants you came across. He had no fear of going camping out by himself. If I spent 10,000 hours in the woods, he probably spent 50,000. As for me, I'm a taller, sturdier guy. And as we got older, I spent more time worried about women and sports, and the woods became a place for small parties. Also, I never had the balls to camp out alone. In fact, older me wouldn't go far at all when I was alone, because I could never shake the feeling of being watched. Which was just paranoia, but still an uneasy feeling. Anyways, camp is set, fire is going, but it's getting lower and needs wood. Sun is down, and we're both cutting up and having a good time. My friend is sitting on this little chair he always brought and loading up this makeshift pipe, and I was crouched, breaking some excess limbs off some of the logs we had gathered for the fire. All of a sudden, this strong breeze cuts through the clearing. I couldn't tell you if it was the suddenness of it or what, but my friend and I both stopped immediately and looked at each other. The breeze went just long enough to flicker our fire down to a small flame. We both sat completely still in almost total darkness. Neither of us spoke a word. Across from us, on the other side of the fire, we could hear footsteps. They sounded like somebody was running and would slow to a walk and then run again. Definitely on two legs. By the sound of it, they were pacing back and forth over the same spot. Then just like it started, it stopped with a softer crunch on the underbrush. I knew by the sound it had taken a crouch. I was crouched still, and I knew I was staring right at it in the dark. My friend grabbed my shoulder and said, "Buddy." And when he did, I felt this surge of fear come over me. I could feel it and hear it in him. I'd been so fixed on the footsteps and rationalising what I heard that I hadn't even considered being afraid. But this was true fear. It was raw and made me feel helpless. I could hear my friend after a while grab some leaves and he dropped them on the fire. For the split second the leaves covered the fire, we were in pure darkness. Then the fire sprang to life. We both quickly grabbed more leaves and brush and threw it on the fire. I got some sticks and logs on there, and neither of us took our eyes off the spot or moved much for over an hour. Finally, the leaves crunched and it slowly walked off. Whatever it was had sat crouched, watching us without moving for far longer than any animal would. It wasn't until after the footsteps disappeared that I realised the smell had disappeared as well. It smelled like a paper mill, spoiled eggs almost. For the rest of the night, besides whispered remarks, neither of us really moved or stopped looking at the spot. Nobody went into the tent, and I had a very short light sleep, sitting on the ground with my head rested on my hands. My friend never went to sleep. In the morning, we packed up and silently walked home. To this day, we talk about it. In the 7 to 8 years since it happened, my forester friend has not camped by himself out there since. Crouching, watching, no thank you. We actually live opposite forest. And when I was a kid, we had a woods in just beyond our back garden. So there was a fence up and that's what separated. And I always used to have dreams about creatures living up in that woods. And I'd wake up and think it's all real, like there were bears up there and stuff. And obviously we don't have those in the UK. But another one, I wonder what it was. Obviously watching, and I'm glad that it didn't attempt to come any closer. Perhaps it was frightened by the fire. Bear that in mind, people. Fire. Right, are you ready for the fourth and final story? The White-Eyed Witch of Dismal Hollow. In summer of 2015, I decided to hike to a spot called Dismal Falls in Transylvania County, North Carolina. Known as the Land of Waterfalls, the county is just running wild with creeks and tributaries. Very beautiful, but it's always had a mysterious feeling. I've always felt a mysterious sense of curiosity while visiting in the area. Dismal Creek was different though. A man by the name of Jim Bob Tinsley wrote a book called Land of Waterfalls about southwestern North Carolina and described Dismal Creek as the most foreboding place in the southern Appalachians. Keep in mind that I only learned this after my visit, and had I have known of Tinsley's apprehension, I likely would have never visited. The hike itself is ridiculously demanding. Grades of over 50% make up the majority of the hike, and that's not an exaggeration. There are 4 waterfalls on the way up to the creek. The first 2 feel very sublime, safe, but there's something channeling through. About the time you hit the 3rd falls, called Grotto, the feeling of dread starts to become very prominent. But a sense of beckoning drew me onward. A very difficult feeling to describe. I got to a split in the path, and because the area is so unforgiving, my map was inconclusive. I could hear the falls down the mountainside, but felt I needed to go up and over by the right path. I left a cairn for myself to determine the way back and headed up to the rugged jumble of earth that was the ridgeline. I just started the intense scramble when I got the sense that I was being watched. I turned to look behind me and thought I saw someone disappear into the rhododendron and mountain laurel surrounding the trail. I only saw the back of what appeared to be a cloak. There was no sound. It didn't make sense. The leaf litter gives away even the smallest insects. I should have heard something. I attributed this to a combo of dehydration and sheer exhaustion. I've seen shadow people in the woods before, due to that, so I didn't really put much stock into it. I couldn't shake that feeling of dread, though. I continued the climb, step after grueling step, and after cresting over the ridge, I was in Dismal Hollow. I found myself looking down a nearly 70-degree angle with a rope anchored to a tree. I semi-rappelled down to a second rope and finally to the bottom. Then came a wet rock scramble to the base of the falls. The falls were breathtaking. A 200-foot, gentle cascade with a 40-foot sheer drop at the top. Incredible. I sat down to chew on some mountain mint, and when I glanced at the top of the falls, I nearly fell off the log and into the creek. There was a woman up there. She was pretty far away, but appeared to be old and wearing a cloak of some sort. Grey, tightly curled hair. That's all I could see from my vantage. She was facing me for a few seconds before turning and walking off out of view. I immediately got up and started scrambling up the mossy-soaked rock cascade toward the top of the falls. I got there after a very treacherous scramble, only to find nothing. Hands on my knees and taking laboured breaths, I heard a voice from the bottom of the falls. "Hey," it said in a strange, spectral voice. It sounded hollow. I turned to look and there she was, disappearing into the rhododendron once again. I was in total and absolute disbelief. I felt sick to my stomach. I carefully picked my way down to the base again and started the trail out. I just felt I shouldn't be there. Like I'd seen something I shouldn't have. I'm a long-time bushman, and I'm not afraid to say that I'm as tough as nails. I wanted to run out of that holler crying. I finally made it to the top, using the ropes for help. As soon as I crested the ridge, my nose started bleeding. Only a few drops. I kept moving and was essentially running down the mountainside. I got to the bottom and followed the path indicated by the cairn. I kept running and came around a blind curve. I nearly ran into her at full speed. In trying to stop, I took a hard tumble, and when I opened my eyes, she was standing over me. She looked very Scottish, the curly hair and fair skin. She didn't look particularly gruesome or hag-like. She was very old, but it was obvious that in her youth she'd been beautiful. Her eyes, though, the eyes were alive and full of vitality. Very youthful. And the irises were so light blue, they were almost white. Though her form appeared benign, I had the distinct feeling that she did not mean me well and that she didn't want me there. I wanted to crawl away from where I'd fallen, but I was backed up against a rock. I edged along it until I regained my feet and backed away from her. Her expressionless gaze never left me. I ran until I was well off that mountain. When I stopped running, I was on a more well-established trail. When I'd come in, the area felt fine, but now I could feel the dread still. All was silent as I hiked out. Not a single animal sound. I was almost out when suddenly a bobcat appeared on the trail ahead of me, seemingly from nowhere. I stopped and looked at it, as it looked at me. It had her eyes. I knew they were her eyes. I told her I wouldn't be back and told her that her mountain was beautiful. Then I left as she disappeared into the rhododendron thicket.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I love that story. I can imagine myself walking. It also reminds me, not quite the same, because I didn't see a witch, but when Rog and I broke down in Wales, I know I've spoken to you about it before, we broke down middle of January in Wales, and I freaked right out because we were in the middle of nowhere. No signal. Managed to get a message through to my sister. She knew where we were, and it was a waterfall walk. It's quite a well-known one. So we managed to get rescued, but not before I thought it was going to be eaten by wolves or haunted by ghosts and never seen again. And there were also people in the car park who kept flashing their lights. Enough said. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I'm sorry about my voice again. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can visit our Patreon account and listen ad-free for a small fee. The address for that is patreon.com/thewhisperingwoods. Also, you can support us by leaving a review if you can, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, or come and join our Facebook group. All of the links are in the podcast notes, and we'll catch up with you again on Thursday. Hopefully, I'll sound a bit healthier, and so will Toby. Take care, everyone.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.